You arranged Bach movements from keyboard pieces mm-hmm. for as in the way of an orchestral suite, as if whatever orchestral suites were lost to history, and there's probably a lot of them that we never got to hear, other than the four that have survived. Mm-hmm. You've now added to the catalog in a way. So tell me about what was behind this project getting going. Is this something that you began sort of fiddling with on your own, or were you asked to create a new Bach suite?
I was invited by Dr. Michael Sporn, who loves Bach and has found great meaning in it, especially after his wife Kitty passed. And he loves these movements that are so joyous, the gavottes, the berets, and said, could we just have a suite that has all these beautiful, joyous movements in them? So he commissioned me to write a piece in memory of Kitty. First, there was just a string orchestra. It was the first suite of string orchestra, and that was commissioned for A Far Cry. That was premiered about 5 years ago in Boston. And then the latest suite, the second suite, is for oboe and string orchestra, and was commissioned for the Chelsea Music Festival with the oboist Amanda Hardy and conductor Ken David Mazur.
Yeah, and so when you began this idea, tell me, you mentioned the types of movements that he liked, these dance movements, and that is the name of the recording, Dancing with Bach. Did you spend a lot of time going through these different keyboard suites to find those, or did he have specific ones that he really liked? How much did you already know of this music and sort of immediately have ideas for which dances to orchestrate?
Yeah, well, Dr. Sporn, he gave me a whole list of movements that he loved. And from those movements, I added in one or two of my own that I found and also love. And I then constructed them in an order that I thought would make most musical sense. And so we didn't use all the movements, but I think what we have here now are two new suites, and especially the second suite, I feel, is an oboe concerto, another oboe concerto for Bach that I'm very happy now exists.
Yeah, it's right in line with what we call the second orchestral suite for flute, right? Yeah. I mean, it is an orchestral suite, but it has this featured player.
Yeah.
So was Amanda a big part of your process of doing the arrangements? Were you in communication with her as you put it together?
A little bit. We've worked together before. I was thinking of her when I was writing it, and it was, I think, what was so interesting to me in writing this for oboe was to look into Bach, and I feel like I was learning so much as a composer, trying to find where is the concerto in these solo piano pieces, and how do we create a dialogue, how do we create something meaningful being said. And Bach is just full of, I think, meaning in all these different voices. His voice leading is incredible, and I feel like I learned about what makes phrasing work by trying to figure out how to superimpose another form on top of these pieces.
You've anticipated my other question, which was simply like when you immerse yourself in this music for a little while. I don't know how long these particular arrangements took, but certainly some substantial amount of time. What is it that you come away with as a composer? I mean, it won't surprise anybody to say, oh well, my God, Bach is such a genius. Well, yes, this is understood. But is there more specific kind of qualities or techniques that you came across that really illuminated something about your own work as a composer?
Yeah, I think it's really about phrasing and creating meaning. And so with these pieces, the scores that I've written are highly notated. Lots of dynamics, lots of articulation. And my goal was to create the same sense of vibrancy you get from a solo pianist playing Bach, but here with a full orchestra, because so much of Bach's music for orchestra does not have a lot of dynamic, and the conductor may, and the string players themselves may have to interpret it. But here, we can really have much more a sense of direction and changes of dynamic that a very exciting pianist may bring to it. And so I was, in working with Bach here, trying to see where does this music lead for me, and I feel like I learned so much for my own writing as a composer, figuring out how phrases with different dynamic levels can create different meaning and different directions, and just kind of experimenting with that. The second side is that it was quite intimidating because a lot of these gavottes have only two voices, one for the right hand and one for the left hand, with occasional filling in the harmonies. And sometimes the harmonies are not clear. Is it a two chord? Is it a four chord? So I had to make some decisions and add three other voices of counterpoint around some of these things. This music, which was quite intimidating because, you know, Bach did it pretty darn well the first time. But I feel like I learned a lot about how to be a better voice leader. I teach counterpoint at Brown, and I just feel like I got a lot better by working with Bach's music in this way.
Absolutely. That's great. It's a fantastic recording, and the arrangements really are just like, they just sparkle. They're beautiful. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Eric, Nathan, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.